Go ahead and take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of Luke. And I'd like for you to turn to Luke chapter 6 and verse number 35. We are going to revisit a verse that we began with this morning in Sunday school. I'm going to dovetail off of the Sunday school and go right into the preaching service. Let's stand as we honor the reading of God's word here this morning. Luke chapter 6. And verse number 35, I want you to notice what our Lord says here. Luke chapter 6, verse number 35. He says, "But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest." And this is the main part of the verse I want you to look at. "For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." I want to preach just a few minutes this morning about our Lord God. And the title of the message is "Kind to the Unthankful." And I am so glad this morning that we serve a God that is kind to the unthankful. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Lord God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace and your help. Thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for blessing us beyond anything we've ever deserved. Thank you that you saved my soul from hell, where I absolutely deserve. And I pray if there's anybody here today that's not saved and they've never trusted you and you only for salvation, they don't even understand what it means to be lost or to be saved or to be born again or to receive you as their Savior, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God will deal with their heart and soften it up and make it ready to receive the Word of God, the incorruptible Word of God, and that faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. When the word of God's preached today, Lord, they'll trust you as their Lord and Savior before they leave this place. But now help us as Christians to get a hold of this message. And I pray you to do something in our hearts today. And we ask this of you, Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior and our God. Amen. 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 You can be seated this morning. Would we happen to have anyone attending the worship service this morning who would be honest enough to admit that at times you are not as thankful as you ought to be? Now, if you were here this morning, you know that we cover that pretty thoroughly in adult Sunday school, as we covered a lesson this morning on the sin of unthankfulness. And I told you then, and I'll tell this crowd right now, in case some of you wasn't here for Sunday school, I will be the first one to raise my hand and say, unfortunately, and to my disappointment in myself, there are times when I'm not thankful. There are times when I'm not appreciative of what God's done for me. There are times when I think I ought to have more, and I don't even deserve what I've already got. And there's times that my heart is not what it ought to be for the Lord. And it's at those times I ask God to help me, because I don't want to be unthankful. I told you also this morning in Sunday school, is there's a lot of things I can't do. I can't teach like some people. I can't preach like some people. I can't lead like some people. I'm never going to have a big established ministry like some people. But bless God, I can be thankful. And that's very important to God. And every one of us in here can be thankful. And I also told you that when we're not thankful, it's because our heart's not right. And we need to ask the Lord to help us with that. Now, I want you to notice the context of this verse. Our Lord is speaking directly to his disciples, but at the same time, there's a great multitude of people gathered around and they're listening to our Lord. And I want you to notice what he tells them. A very interesting statement. He says, he said, "You should be the children of the highest," right there in the middle of verse number 35. He said, "For because Just want to remind you fellas of something. God is kind unto the unthankful. Have you ever thought about that? Every one of us in here raised our hand, or should have, and said there's times we're unthankful. Aren't you glad for the overall teaching that many times God doesn't do us like we do him? We may leave him. He's not going to leave us. We may throw him under the bus. He's not going to throw us under the bus. We may drift away and not be as excited about him, but he doesn't lose his love for us. That Bible says nothing's going to separate us from the love of God. That Bible says we're never going to be separated from him. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I've known some people I thought would never leave me nor forsake me, and they did. But Christ didn't, and he's not going to. But yet at times, I may forsake him. I may throw him under the bus. I may be ashamed of him. You see, Christ doesn't treat me how I treat him. The Bible says that we don't render evil for good, but good for evil. I don't treat people based on how they treat me. I treat people based on how God told me to treat them. And number two, I treat them how I want them to treat me, not how they treat me. And when I look at the Lord, I just find that a very interesting phrase. Maybe you've seen that. Maybe you've already heard this preached or whatever. I don't know. But it just jumped out at me a year or so ago that, hey, man, that thing says that God is kind and good to the unthankful. And I got to thinking about some things. He sure has been kind and good to an unthankful nation. You have never seen a bunch of unthankful people like you see right here in America today. We are so unthankful. And we've just been spoiled here as Americans. We just got everything we want, everything we could ask for. And gripe and complain about the service in the restaurants, and I have too lately. But do you realize that they can't find people to work? Some of them poor ladies that's trying to run around and get you another glass of tea are doing everything they can. They're understaffed. But we just so big and fat and lazy and spoiled over here in America, we think they ought to have it right now. Go to some third world country, bless God, and expect them to give you as much tea as you want. That's exactly right. God's been real good to us. And he's been kind to an unthankful nation. America's been blessed with so much for so long, we've forgotten the one that gave it to us. And the same one that gave it to us is the man that can take it away. God's been kind to an unthankful nation. God's been kind to the unthankful evildoers of this world. You ever wonder why so many good people die and the bad people stick around? You wonder why people like Dr. Ruckman and Brother Leonard and those kind of folks go on and be with the Lord and he leaves Benny Hinn. See, I would let Brother Leonard live to be 110, 120. And I done killed Benny Hinn. Hey, man, if you find that offensive, you have a heart problem. Benny Hinn sending people to hell by the droves. You ever wonder why that is? Because God is kind and he has mercy on this evil people. And if you are sitting here today and you are lost and undone and you have never been saved, let me tell you something. It is only the kindness and goodness of God that he hasn't let your heart stop and instantly put you in hell. I would run up to this altar today and get saved before I left here if I was lost and undone. But he's been kind to an unthankful nation. He's been kind to an evil, unthankful world. He's been kind to a world full of unthankful Christians. Remember another verse that we visited this morning, we were looking at in Sunday school. And I've already preached it through this. We preached a series on this out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, where it tells you about what's going to happen in the last days of the church. not the last days of Israel, the last days before the second advent, but the last days of the church before the church is raptured out of here. It told you some things that's not just going to be going on in the world. They're going to be going on in the church. Saved people are going to be guilty of these things. And it says, 2 Timothy 3:2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. What? Covetous. You see that? Boasters. Yes. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. And unholy. If you were here during Sunday school, I were also called your attention that stuck between all those terrible things of the blasphemers and the unholy. What was stuck right in the middle of that? The unthankful. And yet, God has been so kind to a lot of unthankful Christians, hasn't he? What if God just got like we got with our youngest sometimes? I want more. I don't like what you got me. My gift only cost $500, but I wanted a $2,000 gift that old classmate got over there. I want that. I want more. What if we say, well, I'll tell you what. We're just going to take what you got and go give it to somebody that ain't got nothing, and you won't get anything unless you leave me alone. God doesn't do us like that, does he? Listen to me. Not because we're right, not because we ain't going to eventually have to answer for some of that mouth running, but only because God is so good and he's so gracious and he's so merciful and he's so loving. You know what our God does? He listens to all this complaining and mouth running and unthankfulness and this venom that is spewed out of our mouth constantly about what we don't have and what we wish we had and what. And he's still very kind to us. And he still continues to give us more. And he still continues to bless us. He still continues to be merciful to us. I don't know how anybody couldn't love our Savior. And I can't understand why I don't love him as much as I need to. There's nobody like Jesus Christ. Man, he's been so good to us. Aren't you glad that he doesn't treat us like we treat him? He's never treated me like I treat him. And that's why I'm tough on myself. And that's why I'm tough on you. Because I think we owe it to him. I think we owe it to him. I think we owe it to him to try more. I think we owe it to him to try to be better. I think we owe it to him to try to live right. I think we owe it to him to tell him I'm sorry that I'm so sorry. I know in this day and time that is not very palatable. They say, I don't want to come to church to feel worse. Well, if you've showed up here this morning with an unthankful heart, you should feel worse. And hallelujah, get it right with God and then leave feeling better. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a preacher that would just stroke your rebellion and just stroke your unthankfulness and just stroke your sin and just, it's all right, it's fine, it's good, it's fine. I mean, as long as we have a good time, as long as we fill up the seats and everybody's feeling real good about themselves. Well, that's Benny Hinn. That's Joyce Myers. That's Creflo, I'm going to get you a dollar. That's who that is. That's a faker. That's a hireling. That's a motivational coach. He may help you exceed in business, but you will not exceed in the kingdom of God with that kind of preaching. He's been kind to many an unthankful Christian. He's been kind to many an unthankful church. Now, I really don't have a point to preach here. I haven't been able to see. I really haven't. Maybe I'm just blinded. Maybe I'm blinded by love, you know. I haven't been able to see where we as a church, as a whole, are unthankful. Maybe we are. I don't know. Maybe, but I haven't. I can't see it. I can see where I'm unthankful. I don't have any trouble seeing that. I can't tell where we're as a church are unthankful. I mean, I don't see that. But maybe some of these recent troubles we've had, finances and different things, maybe the Lord's going to bring us back to a place and say, you know what? You ought to have been thanking them for all the good years. How many times you go to the house and thank them for the good years? Amen? Maybe some of these lean years or lean times will get us more thankful and get us saying, God, we didn't realize how good we got it. Just sort of get used to this big old nice sanctuary, don't we? Just sort of get used to all these fancy lights and this big old building and all that land we got out there. We've had it for a while now. No, God's had it for a while now. And if he wanted to, he said, not this time of the year. Well, he did last December. Last December, he had us out there in a tornado shelter. And tomorrow, God could send an L5 up that road right there and take this whole facility up there to Union City. Why you get uncomfortable when a fella talks like that? I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just telling you the truth. We better get more thankful. But that's not what the message is about. If you were here in Sunday school, I was challenging you to get more thankful. That's not even what this message is about. This message about this morning is to brag on the Lord Jesus Christ because he is so good to a bunch of unthankful people. And hopefully, if we see that, we'll want to be more thankful. Not long ago, Sonny was preached a good message out of Luke 17. Just want you to turn there. That'll be the only other place we turn today. Luke 17, he was talking about the 10 lepers. I want to show you something there. Luke chapter 17. And Luke chapter 17 is about these 10 lepers that are healed. And I believe that these lepers are a type or a picture of at least two things. Now, there's 10 of them. That's the number of the Gentile. We know, of course, mostly the bride of Christ is a Gentile bride. But two things I believe these lepers are a picture of. I believe they are a picture of the average percentage of what Christian really does anything with God after salvation, about 1 in 10. That's really true. I think they're also a picture of a local church. How even in a local church, you'll have several people on the roll, but that don't mean they're rolling. And so I want you to see something here that I find very interesting. Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse number 11, and it goes all the way down to 19. Remember, these are 10 lepers. And remember now, at least one of them, is a Samaritan. And notice some similarities they have. Number one, they all have the same condition, verse number 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now, how many of you know what leprosy is a type of? It's a type of sin. That's exactly right. I know you've been taught that. So anytime you see something physically going on like leprosy or physical blindness in the Bible, it's a representation of spiritual blindness. Leprosy, a physical sin, is a representation of something spiritual, of a physical ailment rather, is a representation of something spiritual, a sin. So all these men had the same condition. Listen. Everybody in this church at one time, you had the same condition. We were being rotten into death. We were dying because of the sin in our life. It was killing us and going to put us into hell one day. So all these men had the same condition. Verse number 13, next verse. Number 2, they all had the same cry. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They all have the same condition. They have leprosy. Number 2, they all make the same cry. The Bible says they all cry out to God for mercy. And there was a day, if you're here and you're saved, we went to the Lord Jesus Christ and we said, I'm lost and I'm undone and I'm on my way to hell. And I believe that you shed your blood on the cross of Calvary for my sins. And I put my faith and trust in you and you only. And you called upon the name of the Lord. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God saved you. So everybody here today that's saved, you had the same condition, you had the same cry, and hallelujah, you experienced the same cleansing. And that's the next verse. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So listen, everybody in here that's saved this morning, maybe all of you are, maybe most of you are, some of you not, but every one of you in here that's saved this morning, you all have the same condition. Sin was killing us all. We all cried out to the same Lord, and then hallelujah, we all experienced the same cleansing. But now here's where you get the separation. Only one came back. And not only did he give glory to God, but notice what it says about him, especially in that verse. Verse number 16. And fell down on his face at his feet. Doing what, church? Giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was an outcast to the Jews. They would have called him a half-breed. And he was the one giving thanks. And our Lord asked, where are the nine? And the only one that returned was this Samaritan to give thanks. And notice verse number 17, Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the nine that are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger? I believe it sat in the Lord. I wonder what his face looked like, what his eyes looked like when he was doing that. And he said, where are the nine? And you know what saddens me here this morning? What saddens me is that many times I'm just like one of those nine lepers. I forget all that God has done for me. Now maybe you don't. Maybe I'm just fixing to preach to me, okay? But sometimes I forget about what all God's done for me. Sometimes I forget about where he brought me from. Sometimes I forget about what he's given me. And sometimes all I can see is what I don't have or my troubles instead of all of my blessings. Often my perspective is just sinfully wrong. And yet, my Savior is still very kind to this unthankful sinner. How could you not want to do better for him? How could you not want to be admonished and sometimes reproved so you will want and desire to do better for him? Not to be the typical church member, but the fellow or the woman that shows up and says, God, so many times I don't have you as first place in my life, and so many times I just don't love you and treat you like I should. So many times I don't obey you like I should. And I want you to challenge me about that, Lord. Because you are so unthankful to this kind. You're so kind, rather, to this unthankful soul. And I want you to help me to be better and to be more thankful. We get ready to close here in a moment. In light of this verse, in light of the fact that we often at times are just as guilty as those nine lepers, we ought to be convicted to do two things this morning. Number one, be more thankful for such a kind God. Does it do that? It should. When you realize how kind he is to the unthankful. And it's such a terrible, terrible sin that we don't even think about. And then number two, it ought to cause us to show more kindness to others who are unthankful to us. See, we're unthankful to the Lord and he shows us all this kindness. What about your spouse or your child or your church member? Or a child, I mean a boss rather that you work for. What about your pastor? What about your lost coworker? When we say, you know, they're not very thankful. They don't really seem to appreciate all that I've done. And that could be very, very true. Very true. But we ought to be kind to them. The Bible says that charity suffereth long and is kind. If you're a loving, giving person, then you ought to express it with kindness. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32 that we are to be kind one to another. And you know what this message ought to do this morning? It ought to put something in our heart to give us a desire to be more thankful to the man that is kind to us when we're unthankful. And it ought to help us that when we see ourselves as we are, we will not be such a hypocrite that we would not be kind to those who are unthankful toward us, when we know how kind Christ is toward us when we are so unthankful toward him. You see it? Puts it in perspective. You know, as I begin to close, the word kind means to be affectionate. It means to be loving. It means to be generous and considerate. And all I can say is that the Lord sure has been affectionate and loving, and generous and considerate to this unthankful preacher. And I'm sorry for being a lot of things, but I really don't know this morning if I'm any more sorry about anything than my unthankfulness. I just think it's a terrible, terrible thing. And I think we in the body of Christ have such a skewed view of what true depravity and sin is that we think because we don't dip, smoke, and chew and date girls that do, that we're just great people for the Lord. And when we're walking around, matter of fact, when I read in the Bible, God never killed nobody for smoking, chewing, dipping, or dating a girl that does. He said, I didn't know girls dip snuff. Well, you're not from Alabama then. They dip, them girls dip a lot of snuff, man. One of the most spiritual people I ever met was my aunt. She loved the Lord, dipped snuff till she died in her 90s. It didn't kill her. But, you know, I think we have a messed up view of what we think sin is. And we get all these external things. We come to church and we sit in our chairs and pews so piously, act so spiritually. And God says your heart is black as coal because it's full of unthankfulness. And you haven't been truly grateful to me in a long time. And I'd take a man or a woman that's got plenty of sin in their life and they just haven't got the victory over it yet, but they love the Lord and they're compassionate and coming up here praying and crying out. I'd take them with all their sin, then you squeaky, squeaky, clean, pious, real righteous people that got a tongue about that long. Amen. That's exactly right. God help us today. God help us. There's just no excuse for a Christian to ever be unthankful. But when we are unthankful, hallelujah, our Savior is still kind to us. Hallelujah, what a Savior. That's a good place to be. And every head bowed and every eye closed.